This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Drew Butler's here. Drew from the Steakhouse. Drew, I saw Kirby Smart say there's nothing wrong with Carson Beck because people are saying what's wrong with him. Kirby, quote, "I don't think there's anything wrong with him. He hasn't played perfect, but nobody does. I'm very comfortable with where Carson is in terms of his leadership. But what about his play, Drew? How do you feel, and do you think there's something wrong with him?"
You know, something wrong might be a little bit too aggressive when you talk about how Carson Beck has played and exactly what's been going on. It's taken him a while to settle into games. I mean, that's no surprise. You go back to the Alabama game. If there was any opportunity for Kirby Smart to maybe sit him for a series, let him take a deep breath, kind of gather himself and understand what was going on in that moment. I was there, guys. I mean, I was sitting there going, are they going to keep trotting 15 out there in that first half? And Kirby stuck by his side. And then a week and a half ago against Texas, it was that kind of same slow start. Some of the turnovers were not his fault, but it's becoming a trend to where how is Coach Bobo going to get him in those first 15 scripted plays comfortable and into the game plan to where he can really pick up some momentum and carry this team off to a fast start. I commend Coach Smart by saying he's my guy. I think the experience that Carson Beck has certainly carries a lot of weight with the coaching staff and with the players around him in the huddle. And Carson has had to really be that big-time leader with a lot of injuries on the offense. I think it's huge that Tate Ratledge is coming back into the lineup on that offensive line, and Fairchild is going to be able to slide back over to left guard. That will be big just really for the consistency up front. But Carson has gone through those growing pains. And, you know, they gave a valiant effort against Alabama. Of course, they overcame adversity at Texas as well. But hearing Coach Smart say, this is our guy, I trust him, that's really all you need to hear. And when he gets going, I mean, to a man, I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the nation. He just needs to get going quicker. And I think everybody knows that, including Carson himself.
I guess sometimes we get caught up in some of the things that come out from the sound bites or those conversations he has with some of the media about, like, his confidence. And then when you see it early in a game, you're like, oh, boy, is he having one of those I'm not feeling confident moments, which, you know, as being in the NFL those years, you got to have leadership, you know, and going back to your college days, you got to have that. Yeah, that's the rock you build this thing on.
No question, you know, and I think it goes to show the resurgence of Trevor Etienne in the offense. Like, hey, when things aren't going as well, maybe in the pass game, or we haven't started off as fast as we wanted to, let's just hand the ball off to number one. That's why you went and got this guy. I mean, he is a bona fide stud in the SEC. It's going to be a huge weekend for him as he obviously transferred from Florida to Georgia. But that's when you rely on your five-star players to allow Carson to take a deep breath and say, hey, it's not all reliant on you. And then, of course, the tight ends as well. You know, missing Brock Bowers has been absolutely enormous, guys. I talked about it on the Steakhouse on Monday with Steak. Like, watching Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers score touchdowns week in and week out in the NFL, those guys are not on the offense for the Georgia Bulldogs anymore. You love to see Oscar Delp and Lawson Lucky get more involved in the pass game. Those guys are much more like security blankets than they are deep threats for Carson Beck. But I can't wait to see what this offense is going to be able to do again with some of those key leaders back in the fold. It's a huge game down in Jacksonville. Kirby threw flowers at Florida on the Steakhouse last week when Rusty and Steak talked to him. He did the same in his Monday press conference yesterday. He's ready for a fight. He said Florida's got some of the best offensive and defensive lines in the country. And, of course, they've got new life with DJ Lagway as well. So you're going to have to start fast, or at least don't make huge mistakes starting down in Jacksonville, because that's just one of those stadiums, guys. And that atmosphere down there with its 50-50 split to where if you turn the ball over early or if things aren't going well as fast as you want them to, man, that other side of the stadium really starts to have an impact on what happens in the game. And Carson and that entire offense is just going to have to make sure, let's go out there, be methodical, take care of the ball, put some points up on the board, and rely on that defense that looked so good against Texas.
Yeah, last year he told everybody, right, that this was something he felt personal about, going back down there to Florida. I just don't want him pressing. That's my thing with Beck.
Right.
You know, when you play in front of family and friends, you know, Drew, it's different. right? You want to be the best. You want to try so hard, and sometimes that doesn't allow you to play or be your best. When in other situations where, like, hey, none of my family's here, and you go out and ball.
No, you're totally right. You know, I would love to see, and for all the Georgia fans that continue to clamor for throw the ball, take deep shots, press downfield. Look, I was doing that as well. Well, what happens when you're on the road in those environments and you do go out there and do that and it doesn't go your way? Alabama, you're down 28-0 before you can blink. You're not able to gain any time of possession. You're turning the ball over. They've got an explosive offense. You dig yourself into a hole really big. I liken it to what the Falcons have been able to do on offense. They run the ball to then throw it. And Kirk is really good at doing that. And it looked awesome a week ago, and I loved how Dan Orlovsky was giving the Falcons' run scheme tons of love the other week, saying they're doing stuff I've never seen do. When Bijan and Tyler Allgeier are able to get 5, 6, 7 yards a clip, the pass game opens up. The same thing is true for Georgia's offense. Rely on Trevor Etienne this weekend. Yeah, then get into the play action, get into the screen game. That's how Carson's really going to be able to not have to press. And then, of course, when that momentum picks up for Georgia's offense, you start seeing guys like Arian Smith run downfield. I want to get Dylan Bell more involved. I think he's so versatile and a physical guy that can be a big leader on this team. And then, of course, Dominic Lovett as well. Like, these are the guys that you have. And look, it's the home stretch. Saturday is November, guys. You don't have that much time left. You got to start figuring out what you have. There's a couple of really big games on the schedule in these last 4 or 5 weeks of the regular season, and it would be awesome for Georgia to have a clean game down in Jacksonville. You cannot give Florida any life early because you know they're going to hang around with the talent that they have.
We're talking with Drew Butler, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hear him on the Steakhouse. Get his takes during the week as well as we're getting ready for the dogs and the cocktail party. It was so interesting to see, you know, the Texas thing, and, you know, us against the world. Everybody, Drew, plays a respect card from Pop Warner coaches to pro coaches. And, you know, Kirby, we came to eat and all that. But it just seems like, and all the time, we had talked about this with you before, about where is that superstar defensive piece? Well, when Mykal Williams is healthy, it seems like he is that guy.
Yeah, he is, and Jalen Walker stepped up in such a big way. It's so cool to see in real time, if you're not at the game and you're on social media, and you see how much national reaction there are to guys like Mykal Williams. And Jalen stepped up earlier this season and, of course, had an amazing game against Texas as well when Mykal was on the field, because he's gained that confidence as well. Hey, I can be that playmaker. I can make those plays when the team needs it the most. But when you have a guy like Mykal on the field, he just attracts so much attention from the blocking schemes. The quarterback is figuring out where he is on the field pre-snap. Everybody is trying to scheme around 13. And when 13 and 11 are on the field at the same time, guys, they can terrorize some offenses. And the key for Georgia, going back to their national championship runs, was that pass rush, right? Shutting down the run, getting after the quarterback, only using 4 and then allowing those guys on the back end to really lock down the coverage. Like, that is the key ingredient to any successful defense. And if they figure out with some of those stunts they were doing that went viral on social media, moving those guys on the offensive line, bringing the linebackers up close to the line of scrimmage right before the snap, just confusing the hell out of everybody on the field, that's what you love to see. And the confidence that brings to the guys on Georgia's defense, where they smell blood in the water and they're like, oh yeah, they've got no chance. That's what Georgia fans have really been wanting to see, and you hadn't seen that up until that Texas game. So I hope the bye week didn't kind of diminish the momentum they had coming out of that Texas week, but I also think it comes at a great time because Coach Smart's able to talk to those guys, level set with them, and say, if we want to go all the way, look, it's November 2nd on Saturday. The national championship game is January 20th. We have a long way to go. So they really have to manage who's going to be on the field and how they're going to attack this second half of the season.
I want to ask you about the fake punt that was botched by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers before we let you go, because there's only so many ways you can run a fake punt. But I want to ask you your experience in these situations, and, you know, when you start talking about running this stuff, obviously the Falcons, they get ahead of it. We end up scoring out of that. But these fake punts, right, when coaches decide to do them, you've been in there. What is it like? All right, we know we're going to run it. Are you looking at this and going, there's no way this is going to work, or you're just trying to execute it?
Yeah, you know, the personal protector there, who obviously the ball was snapped to for Tampa Bay, when you see the front that the Falcons came out in, and I'm sure, I mean, I didn't hear the audio, but I am sure in that situation, The Falcons had run their antennas up. They said, alert fake, alert fake. You saw the guys kind of standing there a little bit off the line of scrimmage waiting for something to happen because you knew Tampa was going to have to steal a possession. On that, in that position on the field, in that situation in the game, that is a key indicator of alert fake. And when you are the personal protector, you just call Omaha or whatever your call is. You right. call it off. The snapper knows to snap it to the punter. The gunners are running down there. Hopefully it's a good enough punt to where it's a fair catch. So I don't know if he didn't get the key. You know, sometimes you're counting as many guys that are outside the tackle there in the punt formation. And he obviously was going to run towards the sideline outside the hash mark and try to gain those yards. But huge, huge hat tip to Kadarryl Hodge. I mean, those are the plays right there, guys, that swing the momentum of an entire game. You then keep that possession away from them. You put points up on the board, and you look back, and, you know, Youngway missed that field goal. Like, that was a huge play in the game. So Kadarryl Hodge, not only did he get the Bucks with that overtime passing receiving touchdown right. on Thursday night, but he definitely made a big play down in Tampa by stopping that fake punt for sure.
By the way, you ever run one?
I ran a fake punt in college. I ran a fake field goal in the NFL. You know, I was so good of an athlete, Mike, that every time I stepped on the field, they were like, alert fake.
Yeah, because I was at the game in Tampa, and again, I don't know what they were looking at because it wasn't there. And again, Kadarryl Hodge came right. up and made the play. But I know you had a couple under your belt.
That's right, man. They weren't as successful, but they were always fun, and it was fun to run them in practice because I got to show off my skills a little bit, and everybody knew how much of a threat I was if I was able to get outside the usual punter, kicker, holder scenario.
There he is, Drew Butler from the Steakhouse. Appreciate you stopping by, man, and this is going to be a fun one this weekend with the dogs in Florida, as it always is. Drew, thanks again.
Thanks, boys. Go Dogs.